Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a great service department that does a great job of taking care of your vehicle for the life of the vehicle, as the Shamokin Dam Orchestra wanted to get one last burst in there. You want to know why? Because they are anticipating with great fervor the rants, plural, of the day.
Oh, my almighty!
Oh, there are rants, plural, today.
No, please, no. Open the Tomb of Hatred.
Well, the first one goes to Dalvin Cook, who said yesterday that he wants to form, quote, an epic tandem with DeAndre Hopkins, as they're both free agents at this point. First of all, if he's cute to think that these, like, the super team idea, like, happened, like this happens in the NBA all the time, that I think ruins the league to some extent, can happen in the NFL. And he's been playing in the league long enough that he should know this. But apparently he doesn't. The NFL is the ultimate team sport. Just because you've got three guys that can do something for it, it's still, if you don't have a good team together on all three phases, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. You're not going to win games consistently. And especially by the fact that you don't even have, you don't even want to team up with a quarterback. You mentioned a wide receiver, which is all well and good, but you still need to have a quarterback to win in this league. It just doesn't take three guys that are talented and then you throw a couple of pieces around them like the NBA. It doesn't work like that, Dalvin. Now, if he wants to team up with a quarterback, that's still a different story, but even so, this is still a team sport. So the fact that if anybody wants to try and form like this, these super teams in the NFL, then you're in for a very rude awakening, because that doesn't happen in the NFL, which is what makes the NFL so great, and which is why the NFL is and will always be king. So it's very cute for him to think about that he thinks he can win if he just teams up with DeAndre Hopkins somewhere. Obviously, he doesn't get it with the league and where it stands right now. And second of all, they both haven't been able to stay healthy the last couple seasons. So there's that, too.
Sounds like Aaron Judge. All right, so...
You're right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Let's start with this. First of all, both Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins have been hit with the reality of the business part of the league. Right. They both got cut. So this is not a guy who elected to become a free agent and now they're going to toy around with this super team idea. They both got cut.
Bingo.
So they're looking, no, I'm siding with them. So they're looking around saying, "Hey, look, you know, maybe as a tandem we can go someplace, we can do something together with somebody." Because through none of their doing, they're looking for work. It just turned out that their contract wasn't quite right, or they don't, you know, the team doesn't want to pay them. It's the way the NFL operates. The NFL operates completely on a completely different plane than Major League Baseball does, the NBA does, where it's all guaranteed contracts. Where Ken Griffey Jr. is the sixth highest paid Cincinnati Red, where Bobby Bonilla gets a salary every July 1st. They were going along, and yeah, First of all, it's a very physical league. You're going to get hurt. I mean, that's just the way the league is. Everybody who plays in this doggone thing gets banged up, bumped, and bruised at some point, and they're adding games to it along the way. So guess what? They have now, after seeing the business side of it, are now trying to maybe do something on their business side of it that they think works for them, because the teams that they were with have said, nope, you know, I don't want to pay you that kind of salary any longer. And I think you've got to see it, I think, from that point of view, Matt. Like, oh, they're trying to form some super team. They both did not elect to become free agents.
Now, while that's true, Hopkins is one thing.
While it's true, it is true. Okay? They did not elect to be free agents. Right? So they're free agents, so they're both out there talking about, hey, look, what they'd like to do. Now, whether anybody wants to, they're entitled to feel that way. They're the ones that were cast aside. I mean, they didn't walk in and go, I'm out of here. They were told, you're out of here. I mean, you got to look at this from the employee point of view.
I think they should just focus on getting on the team. That's all. Hopkins has done that, actually. Hopkins is going about his own business. He hasn't said one word about this. Dalvin Cook's the one that's talking about bringing this epic tandem together.
Well, that's fine. He's perfectly entitled to talk about that. That's fine. He's the one out there looking for work. He did not stiff the Minnesota Vikings. He didn't put a stiff arm out and go and yell, get away. They told him, nah, we're done. We're going to go on to somebody else younger and less expensive.
Well, that's my point with Cook, at least. Hopkins is a different story. You know, the Cardinals messed that up completely. But with Dalvin Cook, you're right. They have somebody they can go to who's younger and who's been more productive lately. So he got cut for a reason. Does he have some years left in him? Maybe, we'll see. But let's not act like he's the second coming all of a sudden. He got cut for a reason.
Hopkins got cut for a reason too.
Yeah, but his side was money. It's not because of talent and production. I mean, it hasn't been there lately.
Excuse me. Dalvin Cook's issue is money. Okay? It's all about money. He signed a contract. Like most NFL contracts, it is not guaranteed. Like most NFL contracts, they have an opportunity to pass you by and go to somebody else, and they did. They're going for a cheaper option. I'm not saying he's the greatest running back in the league, but I don't blame him for wanting to talk about stuff like that. What do I blame him for that for? He did not stiff-arm the team he was with to then go with another guy who stiff-armed the team he was with and, like, we're going to form some super team and blah, 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 blah. No. It's the other way around. They both got like, get out of here. All right? We're done with you. We're going to go with the younger option. And I'm not saying that the younger option's more talented. We don't know that. I always like to let things marinate a little bit. I want to see when the league adjusts to you, how do you adjust back, things like that. Like the De La Cruz kid with the Cincinnati Reds. He's off to a great start. Don't say he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Let's just see how he plays out along the way. Cook at least has a track record. Hopkins at least has a track record. Now, is it a track record that is palatable to a team that would need a running back and a wide receiver? Are the numbers that they want palatable to a team that wants a wide receiver and a running back? They may not be. I mean, but I don't blame him for talking. He's allowed to talk. I mean, you act like people aren't allowed to talk. You act like people aren't allowed to have an opinion about something, especially when it deals with their own personal lives. Okay? Dalvin Cook is out there trying to get a contract for himself, and you don't know who, and you're saying, oh, Hopkins has gone about it the right way. You have no idea what Cook's agent has talked about and to whom. I mean, they're the ones that do all the talking. In the end, the agents do. Okay? And for him, and I, you know what? It's. Has Cook been banged up? Sure. Has Hopkins been banged up? Sure. Last I checked, almost everybody in that league is banged up. Almost everybody in that league is banged up. How many games did Jalen Hurts miss this year?
He missed two.
Yeah. So he didn't play the whole season, did he? Right?
Correct.
Why?
Because
it's a physical. Because it's a physical. It's a physical league. Okay, yeah. And guys are going to get hurt. This is not. I have a twinge. I'm in the training room. Like, oh, jeez. All right. These guys. I mean, running backs, wide receivers. I mean, every time Cook carries the ball, he gets belted. I mean, belted every single time he carries the ball. Just like Saquon does. Everybody else does. I mean, now, am I a big Dalvin Cook guy? I mean, I'm okay on him. I mean, I think he's very good. Do I think he's great? No, I do not think he's great, but I think he's very good. Now, how much mileage does he have left in him? Hey, that goes back to the Bill Walsh quote. When Bill Walsh looked at Randy Cross when they were doing contract negotiations, he said, you have five more years in the league, but only two really good ones. I only want the two really good ones. And that's the judgment general managers will have to make on Dalvin Cook. Does he have any shelf life left after the miles that he's put in and the hits he has taken? DeAndre Hopkins, does he have a shelf life left based on the miles he's put in and the hits he's taken? That's going to be the question for general managers. Can they help us win, and can they do it within the budget we have? You hate when I disagree with you like this.
No, it's fine.
Again, they did not look at their teams and go, I'm going to be a free agent, and then declare, we're going to go as a tandem someplace. Okay? They both got cut. So they are a free agent, not by their own choosing. See what I'm saying? They're a free agent, not by their own choosing.
I do understand that perspective, yes.
Right. So this is not like some centralized plot, like, oh, I'm going to get out of the Cardinals, and you're going to get out of the Vikings, and we're going to form it. No. Management looked at them, and in the cruel world of the business of the NFL, they both happen to be now cut loose. And that's why in the NFL, I'll tell you what is so important, and Jack Ham and I have talked about this repeatedly. Obviously a lot, these are all, private conversations, but but Jack and I have talked about this a lot. It is so important in the NFL to get a second contract. That second contract put you on path to getting financial security. You get a third contract, you're set for life. Right? But see, there's a shelf life with these guys. Right? And a lot of NFL teams would prefer you to, your first contract's over, you're running back, I'm going to go someplace else. I mean, you're going to tell me that at this stage of his career, Miles Sanders is not better than the guy that replaced him?
In this case, no.
No, he's not. But the Eagles got rid of him, right? Because they didn't want to pay his second contract. And they got the guy from Detroit. DeAndre Swift. Well, Miles Sanders is a better running back, in my opinion, than DeAndre Swift. Okay? You've gone down at least a half notch at running back. Okay? But why did they do it? It's a business decision. And the business of the NFL, which can be a cruel one, right, is that, hey, we're not going to keep you. We don't want to give you the second contract. So now he ends up getting that contract with the Carolina Panthers. Are the Eagles better off for it? No, they're not. Swift is a good, a very good, above-functional running back. Is Miles Sanders a better player? Yes. But that's not... That's not what the business of the NFL is. It's just not. And that's a... So when the cruelty of what the business of the NFL comes up to bite you, I wouldn't get too critical of somebody who's just been told, we don't want you, to say, hey, look, I can still play, and guess what? If you sign the two of us, you're going to get two really good players. Now, we don't know if you know how much life is left in these guys. I don't know. I'm going to guess some, but 5 years worth? You know? Awfully critical of a guy who got cut. Jeez. Ugh. Boy, I'd hate to work for you. Get out of here, you suck. Jeez.
I'm just giving you my honest opinion.
I mean, you're one of the few guys I know that would cut kids from the Little League team. You're not good enough. Get out of here. We'll come back with more in a moment. I can't wait till you coach Little League. You're not good. Sit down. But they say the rules say we have to play two innings. Guess what? Yours will be the seventh and eighth inning, but it's only a six-inning game. I know how you operate. It's only a six-inning game. I know. You're going to play the seventh and eighth. Ooh, Mommy. Mr. Cotrillo is so mean.
Why do you think I'm teaching my kids now how to play the game? You got to teach them the fundamentals early and often.
I saw the videos. Your kid can't hit. You can't keep missing off the tee like that. Come on.
Exactly. We got to work on that.
I'm just kidding. I haven't seen him play. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No good! No good! No good!
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
More rants to come.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them will make sense.
I try.
Others will circle a fogged-in airport.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I could see you cutting kids in T-ball. And just looking at him saying, you're not good enough. This is the way we do things in Philly. You're not good enough. Whoa, wait. And you know I'm right. You'll cut kids in T-ball. stink. Oh, jeez. He's only six. That Saturday Night Live skit. Ever see that one? Where Garrett Morris is playing a young kid, goes in to visit Babe Ruth, the Bambino, and he says, "Can you hit 2 home runs for me?" He says, "I can't do that. I can't hit 2 home runs in the same game just on command." And the announcer comes on, he says, "But it's okay. Young Henry Aaron then grew up and broke all the Bambino's records." All right, let's bring it. It's Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, always a pleasure. Welcome.
It is fantastic to be here in this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. I hope you guys are doing well also.
So this has been a time where guys are going to get cut. And we've been talking about Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins, and Cook says, hey, we'd like to hook up and form some sort of super team. But they've also suffered what is, in the end, the cruelty of the business of the NFL. They both ended up getting cut for financial reasons. How do you view that part of it, and how much shelf life do you think Dalvin Cook, for example, has left in him?
I'll say this. I had a snicker when I heard the dream team of Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins post 30. I don't know if the team is going to be substantially improved with the addition of both of them.
Agreed.
Their cash flow is going to drop a bit, but that's the nature of the NFL. You know, the super team concept is fun. It's something we always visit in June because this always happens in the NBA. That concept doesn't exist in the NFL. You can't do that. They built their structure to not allow that, and the NBA kind of didn't. But different models, different reasons. I think with Hopkins, you've got an experienced player that can still go out and get the ball. He can still get open. More than anything, I wouldn't call wide receiver a position of significant declination over time. You can still be a very effective receiver. Receiver is also not a position I feel anyway, from a team perspective, mandates massive stats for you to make a huge impact on the game. Hopkins can draw coverage. We're not talking about right. You know, A.J. Green at the end of his time. A.J. Green was washed his final year. You can see that. From what I saw of Hopkins, he's not at that point. He can still play. He'll still command some money. It's just not going to be on a long-term deal, I wouldn't think. I think 2 years, something around $13.5 million, a nice chunk of that in year one guaranteed, I would imagine,
yeah,
is what
right.
He'll go for. Cook is interesting. It's not a problem with his role. I don't feel that we could say he's definitely done. Statistics don't work on his side. More than anything, though, it's the injury. He can tell us via Twitter all he wants that he's ready to go, that he's perfect, and that's not often the case with running backs. The Dolphins are going to want to sign him, and I think both are now continuing the same type of wait and see that was going on when the Vikings had his rights, and they were trying to see if Miami would cave and give up an asset for him. Miami doesn't want that contract. Well, you know, Cook does. So he's going to wait and see if a market materializes. And that's something that can happen for a variety of reasons. You know, guys can get hurt. Does Dalvin Cook need to be in training camp with the team to figure out his role, to know what he needs to do? He's an experienced pro. It depends on the offense that they're running, but I would imagine most veterans, certainly ones coming off of an injury, probably don't want to go through training camp. So I don't think he is incredibly motivated to sign today. And because of that, he can take a wait-and-see approach the same way the Dolphins will, because they want to try to drive his price down. So I would imagine, just my guess, I would imagine we'll probably not be hearing about Cook getting signed anywhere for a couple weeks yet. You know, now it's kind of the blackout period. They're all on vacation. They're not going to, you know, they don't need to make a move now. There's no point in signing the guy. I was talking to you about this regarding Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. There's, you know, before the draft, which is the time where he has the most value, from the beginning of free agency to a couple days before the draft, what's the point in signing him? If he gets hit by a bus, you're saddled with his contract. Until you absolutely have to make that deal, you're not going to. I don't think it's too dissimilar for Cook. So I think he's a talented player. I think he has three-down ability. I think he's a solid pass protector as well as a pass catcher. There are things that you can do in certain offenses with him, and I think he can generate a market, but this is just kind of the silent issue the league has with running backs. Teams don't pay him because it's not what the market pays, and because of that, it's just naturally going to drive his price down. He's got to get somebody willing to pay him more in order for him to be able to leverage anything against anybody else. I'm not sure when that would happen, but barring injury, it's not going to be a very strong market for him anytime soon.
Yeah, and here's the other part. I think more and more teams in the league are taking the attitude that we heard articulated by Bill Walsh in that documentary about the 49ers. He sits down with Randy Cross, and Randy Cross tells the story that Bill Walsh looks at him and says, you know what, you have five more years in the league, but only two really good ones. I only want the two really good ones. That's the spot where guys like Cook and Hopkins happen to be with certain teams. Others like the Dolphins, who just feel they need another part to get them over the top, would be more willing to pay because they feel they're that part away from being an extended playoff team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you get to a point where you surpass the 500 mark. You're going to, at the very least, compete aggressively for a division championship, advance in the postseason. I think the Dolphins can make the argument. They have the type of team that can do that. And from there, you know, for a team that's in a position like that, it's a matter of what your salary cap position is and what your depth chart looks like. When you have the cheap quarterback, you have the ability to pay a premium for a specialty player. In other words, the money the Dolphins would theoretically be able to pay for Cook is easier for them to handle than it would be for, say, I'm just making it up, Buffalo. You know, they are a team that's spending a bit more. Miami would have the ability to say, look, you know what, he's probably worth five to us, but we can pay him 10, and he does exactly what we want him to do. Otherwise, we're going to pay somebody less, save money, but he's not the player that Cook is. You can make those decisions when you have that kind of flexibility. He's in that phase of his career. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he plays on one team in 23 and another team in 24, you know, for those 2 years like you're talking about. I would agree with that. But teams are going to take the approach of 1 year at a time and see where it goes. How much Cook is going to be able to, you know, negotiate against that remains to be seen. But, you know, recent history is not on his side at all. It's hard for a running back to get a decent contract. I say that, though, and Sony Michel just signed back with the Rams. You know, as far as I know, he didn't play last year, right? I mean, he's probably getting a minimum contract, and he's playing in a system that he is familiar with and coaches and trainers that know him and know his body. So you see why they would sign him. But the market is full of guys like that. That's the thing. It's very much a fit. It's very much an opportunity. I think Dalvin Cook will have some success wherever he goes because I think he's a good player. The value, though, is not incredibly high anymore, and it's tough. I mean, it's written on the walls. You knew he wasn't going to play in Minnesota this season. You know, the time there was over, and Minnesota is paying more on the back end in terms of a cap hit than they would have paid up front. Had they signed him to, you know, a lesser deal, obviously. They pay him for those 2 years, and then they're able to get rid of him with, you know, some cost, but it isn't cash. It's a valid business deal that they made. You see why that they made it. It doesn't help Cook much, and he's going to, you know, kind of be saddled with one-year deals for however long he's in the NFL. That would be my guess. But whoever gets him this year is going to get one of the better running backs in the league, and how they use him could definitely make a big impact on their viability, certainly late in the season when you kind of need to have that versatility. If they don't use him very much, if he's still fresh, Miami just makes the most sense overall. I think that's probably where he ends up going. It's just, you know, right now is a matter of figuring out the dollars because you still got to pay cash. But Miami has the ability to say, we can pay a premium for a guy like this because he fits what we need to do. And if we have to pay a little bit more than that, that's fine. That's the price of winning.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what, where it is right now. Because I was making the example earlier about Miles Sanders. Is Miles Sanders a better running back than DeAndre Swift? In my opinion, yes. But Philadelphia, from a business point of view, said, nah, we're not going to give you a second contract. And they went and they signed DeAndre Swift. And I think, again, this is the business of the league and how they conduct it, because that is a position you're looking at where I think there are many in the league who feel like it's interchangeable parts at running back.
Yeah, and if you look at it, what happened with DeAndre Swift? Same exact thing that happened to Sanders.
Yep.
And it's going to happen again to somebody else next year. And eventually, shame on me, I forget the name of the running back the Lions drafted. That'll be him in 4 years.
That's Gibbs. Gibbs from Alabama.
Gibbs, yeah, who I think is a great running back. I think he fits what Detroit wants to do. They're going to get panned for the pick, but I think Detroit was just saying, with two picks, you know, the idea here that we can get two good players certainly is there, but long-term, are we going to be able to keep both of these guys? Probably not. It's a lot of money to tie into 1 year to two non-quarterbacks. So strategically, I can see why they would do it, because it's like, well, you know, at most, tag, and it doesn't seem like the tag value of running back is going up. In fact, it might go down by then, which would be really weird. You put that together, it's a fairly reasonable six-year contract with his option year. This parallels the situation that the Steelers are in with Najee Harris. You're taking a player that you need. You know, that's a position of emphasis when they drafted Harris. If we look at this financially, where it was going, my estimate was something like $32 million over 6 years. If you go 4 years cheap, option year, tag, that's a solid deal overall if you think about it. And 6 years is a pretty long time for, you know, in comparison to the average
that's
NFL
right.
player.
Right.
At that point, does Harris have anything left? I don't know. But he can, you know, get in line with the rotating nature of running backs everywhere else. They're going to trade out an older one for a cheaper one, somebody that's on a cheaper deal. But the value of the position goes down after that peak, that five-year mark for the early drafted guys, or maybe the five, six-year mark for guys to get extensions. At that point, they're going to go back into the assembly line with everybody else and kind of, you know, continue rotating around the league. You can trade out one for another, but I agree with your point completely. Sanders is the better player, but Sanders has much higher market value.
That's
so it
right.
makes a lot more sense. If you can get a guy, I'm going to use generic numbers here. If you can get 90% of a guy for 50% of the pay, there's no way you're not going to do that. So that's what catches running backs. There are too many of them who are too similar to one another. It's hard to distinguish in value. Alvin Kamara, you know, is a third-round pick for reasons he can't really control, which is largely size. Look at the value that the Saints are able to get out of him. I don't know how much longer his career is going to last, but he's going to do the Bill Walsh two-year thing, one year with one team, 1 year with another, and then he'll be out of the league. It's happening with all of them. It's really kind of an interesting phenomenon economically, of how obvious it is, to the point where you can almost predict where they're going to go and what team is going to have a need and when. But the draft provides so much of that. You see two guys taken in the first round now. One is a true high-end three-down player. The other, I think, is more opportunity rather than value. But it's not that they're not, it's not that they're not valued within a structure in an NFL offense. It's that their peak value seems to be something around overall $6 million a year for about 7 years on for a high-end running back career now. You know, I don't know if we see, although he's still looking for work, I don't know if we see Adrian Peterson again. I don't know if we see LaDainian Tomlinson again. These are players in an era that doesn't exist anymore. And it really seems like players from the last 7-8 seasons are going to probably get 6-7 years in the league and probably not a whole lot more than that anymore.
Stephon Diggs has now joined the category of Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco, Terrell Owens. They'd like to call the plays. Oh, goodness gracious. What did you think when you saw that?
The funny thing with Diggs, those who knew the game knew how good he was pretty early in his career. I mentioned Kamara earlier. Kamara, third-round draft pick, he's small, short, I should say. Diggs, I'm still not sure why he was a fifth-round pick, but two teams now, he's done some stuff that kind of makes you wonder if they didn't realize that, you know, he might have that thing about him. I absolutely loved Stephon Diggs. I loved his game. You can see it. He has such a supernatural kind of bend to him. He has a way of forcing separation upon his defender that very few receivers have ever really had. I figured he would be something of a success. The fact that he is as good as he is and has been is not overly shocking to me.
Right.
But I think the thing we need to look at more than anything, and we're ignoring this, and it's really convenient why we ignore it, he's doing the same stuff in Buffalo now that he was doing in Minnesota. The difference is it was a lot more fun and a lot more convenient to saddle the whole issue onto Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk Cousins is, without question, the easiest guy in the league to make fun of now that Joe Flacco isn't prominent anymore. You're not doing that to Josh Allen, though. So the question, it seems like everybody is totally pro Diggs to the point where they're completely ignoring how he left Minnesota. He's in Buffalo now. Whose fault is this? I don't know if we're ready to blame Diggs yet, you know, according to Bills fans. Let's blame the offensive coordinator. We can't blame the quarterback because, you know, he's our everything here.
Yep.
But it seems like they're stuck on the idea that Diggs, he's something different than what he was. This is exactly who we've seen him to be, a highly productive, highly talented receiver, one of the best of his generation, without question, and highly emotional, volatile, kind of hard to rein in. It takes specific leadership to be able to do that, and some of the ones that you mentioned, Terrell Owens, Chad Ochocinco, they had a lot of success in their careers, but they were at their best when everything was coming together. And I highly doubt any of that had anything to do with them calling plays, you know?
No.
So it seems to me he's lashing out more than anything. And what's the problem? I mean, go back into Buffalo. This was so funny to me because everybody wants to jump minute to minute in all these stories. You know, it has to be permanent. Right now, this is what happened. We have to have a conclusion now. This is obviously a fluid situation as far as Diggs goes in minicamp. Explain to me reasonably how it's not totally understandable. A player shows up on Monday to minicamp. They have meetings. They meet with everybody. He leaves before practice on Tuesday. There shouldn't be any confusion about what just happened. He left. All right? The coach goes on record as saying, it's deeply disturbing to me. In other words, you had to have had some type of interaction that caused him to leave that you don't agree with. That's what happened, okay? Paint everything else up however you want. Too many people make it out to be like, we only know these things, so this is what it must be. Got, you know, holdout has to be contract, okay? Well, if it's his contract, why did he show up on Monday and leave Tuesday? It's not his contract. If McDermott didn't excuse him, it's not any type of personal issue. I'm going to bet it's something to do with the offensive coordinator telling him, you're going to get the ball in these situations. This is what your role is. This is what you're going to do. And he doesn't like that. That is no different than what happened to him in Minnesota. So
right.
it's with more money, with a better quarterback, in a better offense, more success, more room to shine, he's going back to the same thing. You got to manage that internally. They did a poor job of letting a lot of that get out. When you deal with that kind of that flavor, you know, that kind of personality, you have to learn from a PR perspective how to keep it under wraps. And a lot of it is probably lying. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I will just say that I covered the Steelers when Antonio Brown was there. Nobody knew about any of that stuff for a long time, and there's a reason. Yep. They did a real good job of making sure the right information got out at the right time.
This is what
you can still
I
have
say,
a ton of success. It's just it's going to end.
That's what I say all the time, Neil. All right? The first question I always ask when a trade is made or on the college level, why is the guy transferring? Why? That's yep. The first question I ask. I just want to know what the reasons are for it. And this is the same guy when he played at Maryland, right? First time they played Maryland Beaver Stadium, he's one of the captains, goes out there, refused to shake Penn State's hand, turned around and left.
Yep.
Right? I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I mean. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying that these things don't
right.
happen. And at the end of the day,
they
it's
do.
Football in shorts.
Sure.
You know, we're not crying about it. It's his opportunity to have his voice heard. Maybe they're not doing a good enough job of that. Brian Daboll is, I think we can fairly say, a phenomenal coach. He did an excellent job in Buffalo, did an excellent job in New York. Losing that and adding anybody is going to cause some disruption.
Sure.
And sometimes
right.
that's all it is. Some people don't deal with change very well. This is he didn't walk out in the middle of the game. You know, this isn't a massive right. deal. But the Bills are a trendy team. They're buzzworthy. Everybody kind of likes them. They want to see what's going on. He's going to bring that kind of heat upon them. I don't know if that's a big deal or not. I'm just saying he's not exactly... You know, people should be aware that this is kind of who Stephon Diggs is. Good
yep.
or bad, that's he's going to do these kinds of things.
Well, we're not crazy about change either. That's why we want you back on next Tuesday.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it already.
Okay. And if you could talk to Matt, because we're gonna have a new time Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Tuesday's yours, man. I'm pretty much wide open on Tuesday.
All cool, my man. Have a great week.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong. Yeah. At some point, we're going to have to reveal it, so you just aren't ready yet.
It'll come.
No, it's coming up faster than you think. Oh. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Off to the Angry Shack. Where just a knock on the door will bring with it a rant. Next half hour.